Ho ho, hello, and welcome to Win Stupid Presents. The show where we ask the questions nobody thought worth asking. I'm Eddie, and I'm joined today by three of Santa's little helpers, and they are Bear.
Santa baby.
Paul.
Bork bork.
And our judge this episode is AJ.
Hi, I'm making a list.
Oh, I hope you're checking it twice, because you're our judge, so ask us a question? That doesn't rhyme.
Please rate this interaction from naughty to nice.
Please pitch us a question anyway.
I'm looking forward to Christmas. The one thing I'm not looking forward to, it's actually related to Santa Baby, but like the regular flavor Santa.
The human one.
Is he?
Oh no.
I mean, that's a separate, next year.
If that was your question, I've ruined it.
Human presenting.
I've got a problem this year, and it's Santa. So what I would like you to troubleshoot for me today is, how can we stop Santa? How would you do it?
I've got a problem. It's Santa.
Last year we were trying to do a better job than him. That didn't work, so we got to stop him. Just stop him outright.
He's doing too good a job.
Yeah, know your limits.
Making us all look bad.
We need to make his job worse so that when we take over, it's easier.
Oh, constructive dismissal. I'll put that down.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can stop Santa by, I'm going to call it, home aloneing a bitch.
You go on holiday without him?
No.
You set up traps for yourself.
I set up traps for myself, but I know enough about them that I don't... Yeah, but kind of. It's a little bit of a reverse Home Alone, because what I really want to do here is trap Santa in my house so that he can't deliver the presents to everybody else.
Oh, right. I see.
Okay. Does that mean you get all of the presents? Is that what's going on here?
I mean, I just want him to not complete his task. His task being deliver presents to every child on the planet in one night.
Mm. You're going to need a lot of milk and cookies.
That's one of the traps I'm laying. Yes. As many milk and cookies as I can get my hands on.
Just every surface in your house totally covered in tiny little cups of milk.
I'm going to be honest with you. My Santa was a lot more picky than that. Milk and cookies, God, no. It was brandy in a feckin' pie.
That was another strat I had, actually. Just a lot of brandy.
Oh. I feel like that's been tried.
No. People only ever live in that, like, one glass of brandy. I'm talking a lot of brandy. Like, I'm going to just set a Christmas pudding on fire with this. I'm going to set a whole house on fire if I'm not careful. And that's my house, so I really want to be careful.
Okay, so how are you actually planning on trapping him? So just the concept of trapping so far. Currently, one entrance point, the chimney.
Yes, he always comes in via the chimney. So I don't think you can just put a fire down there, because he must have ways of getting around that. He comes down so many chimneys.
Fireproof socks.
But what if we just put, like, loads of, what's the cockroach paper, the sticky fly trap stuff?
Yeah, fly paper.
Jumps down the chimney, lands on his arse in classic fashion, and finds that he is stuck to the floor.
Oh.
You just put a really comfy seat at the bottom of the chimney with glue on it.
With the brandy and the cookies.
So part of the difficulty I'm going to have with this strategy is he knows when I'm awake.
He does.
So I can't just be there to, like, fight him as I normally want to do in these scenarios.
You do have a tendency to fight nearly everything, actually.
I guess, I could somehow set up, like, an alarm system so that when he entered, the alarm system would activate, it will wake me up, and then I could go and fight him.
Yeah, you're going to need to train yourself to wake up quickly, though, rather than have, like, the half hour of grogginess.
Yeah, that's a problem. I can't see that working.
I'm better at that.
I would also think that Santa definitely has a particular set of skills to not set off alarms.
That's true.
That is pretty much one of his...
Well, you'd have to design a Santa-specific trap, not a normal burglar alarm.
Yeah, I would.
Because he's not a burglar. He's an anti-burglar, if anything.
Oh, but then if I leave out the milk and cookies or the brandy or whatever, maybe there's, like, some sort of pressure plate underneath one of them. So when he picks it up to drink it, a silent alarm gets triggered.
Mm.
And by silent, I mean loud as fuck, because I gotta wake up.
What if every time he picks up a cookie, though, he leaves, like, a bag of sand in its place?
Jones is my presence.
Go downstairs and there's just tiny, tiny little presents where the cookies are. Shit!
He just sees your name gradually sliding onto the naughty list as you prepare traps, and he's like, "Oh, okay, I've got to be ready." Comes into your house.
I see what's happening here.
It's not a bag of sand. It's little lumps of coal measured for the weight of each cookie.
just a naughty, nice, absolute dick bag.
Just being a bit of a fucko, to be honest.
What What if Santa doesn't actually have just a naughty and nice list, but he has like
shades of grey list?
He has a graph and he sees your name floating around like Marauder's map style.
I do have to be a good person for the rest of the year to maintain my nice status.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to be early on in his evening, and presumably he goes from nice to naughty.
Yeah.
You really need to carefully manage. Like, anytime you're making these traps, you also need to be like going and donating time to like work with sick people and
charitable work.
I do. But then if it's like a two-axis graph, I stay on the like on the nice axis, fully on the nice side, but on the other axis I just drift across to the like, yeah, but he's doing something shifty.
Well, to be fair, no, he only knows if you're naughty or nice, right?
Oh. In very binary scale.
Yeah.
Not if you're a secret third thing.
He's only got one scale to work on.
Maybe he has like a bunch of those little wooden panels that just flip between naughty and nice. He's got one for each person with a name. And they just flip back and forth if the person's naughty or nice.
Mine's just constantly flip-flopping.
Just spinning.
Everyone's like, yeah, but what about the in-betweens? And Santa's just like, there is no grey area. There is absolute morality, and I am the keeper of it. Uh-huh.
There is absolute nicety and naughtity.
Yes.
Naughtity?
Naughtity? Okay. You say so.
My other option for traps, though, right, is to just make traps that seem like they're part of regular activities. Like, I go and play with a bunch of Lego, and I just leave it out near the chimney in a bunch of individual bricks. I just forget to clean up one time. It's not a naughty thing to do.
Or you play D&D, a D4 role-playing system the night before on the floor by the chimney.
Oh, my word. Only D4s. And I have so much fun, I just go to sleep without packing up because I'm so pooped out.
You're right. Let's get off topic here. We should make a role-playing system called Caltrops that's a D4 based system.
I was about to suggest that.
The best system for hurting Santa's feet. But he do wear boots, so that doesn't work so well.
Yeah, safety boots equivalent.
Put up a sign in the chimney that says no shoes inside, please.
Maybe the shoes will get stuck to the flypaper that you've got at the bottom of the chimney.
There we go, a multi-tiered trap. Now we're talking.
Because like, he's got to have cultural appreciation, right? I'm sure Santa, when he goes to Japan, he steps out of his boots as he steps into the chimney.
Maybe they leave out special slippers for him.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
The difficulty is like, how magical is this dude? Could he just like clean up any soot prints he leaves behind? Is he immaculately clean somehow? Is that part of his magic?
Ooh, but that would be morally wrong, and Santa, as we've discovered, is very much a binary morality dude.
My experience with Santa is that he intentionally does not clean up all the evidence that he's been there.
Oh,
interesting.
He can't be seen, but he needs to leave signs, yeah, right? That's why he always leaves half the cookie. He always leaves half the milk.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
The empty bottle of brandy.
Wait, your Santa, Santa doesn't just take a bite to leave a bit for you?
Your Santa had a lot of self-restraint. We left him out a glass of brandy and he finishes the bottle.
maybe it's maybe that's a part of the cultural differences, because my Santa knows that I was raised in a more American environment.
It's not cultural, it's just that I'm further up the nice list, so he's hungrier when he gets to me.
Or maybe he's like, you're so on the nice list that I'm going to leave some of the cookie for you as a bit of an extra gift.
Are you telling me that you ate Santa's cookies on Christmas morning?
Look, I'm saying if Santa leaves cookies, we're not throwing those away. If there's any residual magic Santa-ness on them, I'm getting that. That's his gift to me.
This explains so much.
That's a good point.
It's why I'm so jolly.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you leave some fruit and veg out for the reindeer, and those, like, you know, he leaves the stalk there to show.
And then you eat the stalk.
He wants you to know that it's been appreciated.
As much as I'm loving the strategy so far, I don't believe you prevented him from leaving.
He's gonna have a really good time.
All right. Another idea. He wants to put presents under the tree, right? So what if I just hide my Christmas tree really, really well so that he can't find it, and he just spends hours searching for this Christmas tree?
Do you technically have to have a tree?
He tries to put it under the tree. Yeah, I would technically have to have a tree.
Right.
No, you don't necessarily need a tree for Santa. Santa leaves things in stockings, right?
In socks,
but if you have a tree, he will aim to leave presents under the tree. So if that's the intended vestibule for presents...
You will wake up in the morning, you will open up your sock drawer like,
oh. Nothing but stockings and coal. Interesting.
We have a bit of a culture of hiding things at each other's houses going on. So I'm fascinated to know, Eddie, if you were trying to hide a Christmas tree, where would you put it in your house?
Oh, if I tell you, though, then Santa will know. I see your game.
So you're going to create, like, you're going to make, like, a sarcophagus for a Christmas tree and bury it.
So festive.
And, like, sleep down in there so that Santa has to break
I'm not going to give you the specifics of where the Christmas tree is. Just know that unless Santa knows my house very well, which he might.
Just know that suddenly, around your house, there is a huge festive pyramid all of a sudden.
What alternative plan? What if I just buy like 100 Christmas trees, but only have one designated Christmas tree?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I've got to figure out which one the designated Christmas tree is.
This is becoming a maths problem.
I feel that's again just one of his superpowers. He would just know what one to do that to and where it is.
Well, if we're going to get into the superpowers realm, then it's very hard to stop.
You're bringing in the human element here, which is you falling down a chimney and going, oh no, you know what? I really wouldn't like my ass to be stuck to something, something under my feet, and not knowing where to what to do with my job.
That would hack me right off. I would throw the towel in. I would quit on the spot.
I think one of the things you're going to really struggle with is like making this all happen without getting on the naughty list. Like, I know you've mentioned that you have to do that, but I don't know how you're going to do it. Because like, you do all this stuff to make the trap. You have this elaborate like, yeah, he's going to get to my tree. He's going to leave presents. He ends up just dropping three lumps of coal down and fucking off.
Just drops them down the chimney and leaves.
Yeah. Just like tips the bag of coal out at the end of the night.
I have to master my inner Scooby-Doo, whereas they like often in those episodes they go to set up a trap which inevitably fails, and then through some process of blundering around they still end up trapping the monster. And so I need to
you're saying is you're gonna get really high and eat a big sandwich.
And if that doesn't work, I don't know what will.
That's fair. I'm on board for this. I'll come help, actually. Yeah, I'll come help eat a big sandwich with you.
Yeah.
A really big sandwich. We're going to, like, shuffle the bread together like a big deck of cards.
And then some random dog just going to come along and tongue it out of our hands.
It wouldn't be Christmas without it.
That's a great sentence out of context.
Well, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, so you're going on about setting up a bunch of traps.
Yeah.
I think I have an approach that involves everybody setting up a bunch of traps.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's not to keep Santa in. They're not trying to lure Santa in. They're not doing any of this nonsense with filling their house with Christmas trees so you have to squeeze between them.
What do you mean nonsense? Oh. Perfect spot.
You just fill your house. You just can't leave your room. You're like, oh, I know, I forgot that I would need to go to the toilet.
Just make my life very inconvenient for a few days.
You like climb. You're trying to climb over the tops of all your trees, falling into them. Ow, my needles.
Each day of Advent, I'm going to mail you a new Christmas tree. You have to put it in your room and show me a picture.
I think we should do this now. Eddie, we should do something at your house for Christmas and we should all bring a different tree.
Yes.
I'll never want for trees again.
Until next year. Christmas tree pickup day. You just have 50 trees lying down outside your house, just like brown needles falling off. You just spread them along your street.
Now, what are you planning? How are you planning on getting everyone to trap the house? We've already talked about my plan and how great it is.
Okay. So apart from the in your room forest, I think Santa at the moment is quite appreciated, right? You know, there's a lot of Christmas films painting Santa as the hero, painting people who help Santa. You know, kids help Santa. Everyone gets together and share their Christmas spirit and Christmas is saved, right?
Absolutely.
It's insidious.
There's a lot of good press. Yeah, a lot of good press around Santa. I think I can destroy that.
Okay.
I believe you.
Okay, so we all know I've got the figure for Santa, right? I've got the figure and I've got the attitude.
You've been eating those cookies, those magical residual cookies.
Yeah, exactly. And I've filled in. The only thing I don't have is the naughty and nice list.
Okay.
But I don't need that if I just go dress up as Santa, do a bunch of crime. I mean, like, breaking into houses, making sure there's videos of Santa, like, grinching it. Like, pre-Christmas stealing presents, like, getting drunk, breaking into someone's, like, vodka cabinet and, like, taking all the Christmas presents they had for their kid and climbing up out the chimney.
Grinch strat is very funny in itself, but I think that's not quite what you're aiming for. Yeah.
It's not quite, but I say, yeah, a bit of a Grinch strat, but in advance, right? Santa is seen as this figure. The months leading up to Christmas It's like, we've been starting Christmas too early. Santa's absolutely lost it.
Yes.
Christmas starting in July. Santa is getting wasted so early, forgetting what he's doing. There's a reason he's out one night a year. And when we keep him out for months, things get weird. So I start leaning into that really hard and doing all these things as Santa, making sure there's a record, just barely not getting caught.
Okay.
I do a ton of crime. And then suddenly everyone no longer feels safe with Santa. Santa burned down a school.
that escalated quite dramatically. Wow. I was like, this is all feeling quite mundane, really.
And then, Santa robbed a charity shop.
All that stuff that we thought was climate change, Santa in July.
Yeah, just Santa melting ice caps for fun.
Oh, no.
Where do you think Santa got all that coal? He just hates the environment.
Santa goes fracking.
Trash his green credentials.
The government's like, hey, we're trying to bring back fracking. Everyone's like, no. Then they find out that the government's been hiring Santa to go and just, like, frack on the side without a license.
So these are all bad things, but I don't see why people would trap their home with these things.
Okay, so Santa, it goes from, it's not only Santa's on a drunken bender, now everyone's scared of Santa coming into their house because he started, like, being mean to cats.
Right, I get your point, but it takes quite a lot. It takes an insanity level that we've already seen from Ed to consider trapping your home, and you want everyone to do this.
But it doesn't need to be, like, full traps. We just need everyone staying up on Christmas Eve with, like...
Pitchforks,
shotguns, clubs, whatever they've got, everyone watching that chimney, being like, don't you come around here, Santa.
I see, your plan is to disparage the name of Santa.
Like barbed wire around the top of the chimney.
You're trying to make Santa a criminal that people want to try and fend off.
I want everyone scared of Santa, much like you're scared of children at Halloween.
You're turning him into the Futurama Santa, is what the Santa bot.
Okay, so you want everyone to believe in the Santa bot thing, so that means you have to do a crime appropriate to get the world to want to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I've been going for months doing crimes dressed as Santa.
Beyond burning down a school, everything has been quite mundane. So you need to last several months without being caught doing actual crimes.
Okay, so we do some digital cybercrime. We do some cybercrime and sign it off as Santa, right? We spread the videos of like Santa signing off, I've hacked you, and the news comes on.
Oh, man.
And suddenly it gets over and like, give me all your alcohol or I'll kill Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Right.
Look, green screen technology has come so far, we can probably just fabricate enough crimes to make it believable.
Yeah, I just deep fake everything of Santa.
Okay, no, I get that.
You could do so much more crime deepfaking it than you can actually doing crime.
Look, the thing is, a lot of people they know what Santa looks like, but only vaguely, right? So we start a meme. Okay, this is the way. You just start it as a meme on the internet, and then everyone takes it seriously because they're morons.
Yeah.
Of course. That'll ruin Christmas.
A meme that goes so far in the world that people trap their home.
I mean, like, it's just QAnon again.
Oh, okay, yeah, fine, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
Look, this man breaks into your homes, leaves some stuff, eats your food, and disappears without a trace.
Sets fire to your cat, apparently.
Would you let him in your home? No, do not let Santa in.
And here's some videos, right, of him doing these things. So we start all those memes, we spread it around, and then we throw some fuel on the fire, right? We dress up, we do a few crimes in unexpected locations, and... because it's just random people on the internet doing it for the memes, they don't get caught. There's not a pattern. Everyone's like, there's not a pattern. It must be a supernatural being that can travel the world at no more or less instantaneous speed.
Yeah, you're right.
So you're saying the police made up Santa in the first place.
So that they could do crime?
No, you just have a crime you can't solve. You invent a supernatural being that must have done it.
I think it's worse than that. I think the police made up Santa so that they could get away. They just like attribute everything to Santa. And they're like, yeah, we couldn't have possibly done those crimes where the police Santa did it.
Just start conspiracy theories on top of it as well.
It's like, hey, we have we're going to have to investigate you, but don't worry, we're going to pull the Santa Claus.
Oh, nice. You're going to wear his shirt and become him?
Yeah. Ooh. Call Tim Allen. We need to cover up some police crime.
What would be really funny is if in response to this, Santa has to like do a Santa reveal video where he's like...
Face reveal. Santa face reveal.
I was thinking like... Spider-Man esque. Yeah. Kind of, like, it was me, Peter Parker, the whole time. Like, J. Jonah Jameson always wanted, but...
I am the Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I think we've preempted that already and done it a bunch as well. Like, we've got loads of those videos out there.
Ah, nice. We release a bunch of those fake videos first, and when Santa makes his real one, it's hard to distinguish from all the fake ones.
Yeah, no one can tell, and everyone just hates Santa for, like... And people just get tired. They're like, why is Santa all over the news? Why is everyone talking about... I'm tired of it. The same way as, like, Elon Musk right now. No one gives a shit anymore. He's going on his, like... He's losing his mind on Twitter. Like, everyone's tired of hearing about it.
I'm hoping by the time this airs, everyone will be
dating the recording.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping by the time this airs, I won't need to cut that because he's done something so atrocious.
Remember Twitter?
I mean, if he's done something even more atrocious, then it's perfectly fitting.
Well, we will see.
By the time this airs, I'm hoping that actually the conversation's died down and everyone hears me talking about Elon Musk. It's not again. We just stopped.
That would be funny. I think this could work, you know. I mean, from what I know of propaganda, it works a disappointing amount of the time.
No, yeah, propaganda's really easy. And throw in some fear-mongering and actual crime.
Yeah, I know, right?
Merry Christmas.
I think you're overdoing it.
What do you mean?
Yeah, overdoing
me?
It.
Me? Overdo something?
Shocking analysis there.
On point.
It's like you're saying like you got to do, like, crime and get it blamed on Santa because you want to turn people against him. I think there's enough already, like, illegal things that Santa has done that you can get...
Oh, yeah? Name one.
Name one. Well, the easy one's trespassing.
That's not strictly a crime in the UK, is it?
What?
Isn't
what?
It?
No, it's a civil matter.
I mean, breaking and entering is still a crime, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, breaking and entering. But Santa ain't breaking.
But he is entering.
He's entering.
Entering isn't a crime. Breaking and entering is.
So you need to install windows at the top of the chimney.
All I've got to do is put a piece of cardboard in my chimney and he has to break it to get down the chimney.
Yeah, but cardboard has those corrugated gaps, and we know that Santa's good at shrinking to fit through.
I think our chimney's technically sealed up, so you might actually have to break through it anyway.
Might have to come in through a window.
Okay, so ignoring the nomenclature around the concept of breaking an entry, he's definitely drink driving. 100% drink driving, or a bare minimum drunk in charge of a horse-ish.
Unfortunately.
Bit of a stretch on the horse one, but I think that could generally be considered reasonable.
Are the reindeer an autonomous vehicle?
No.
Is that the rule?
No, I do not believe the reindeer are autonomous.
Yeah, okay. Well, name one more crime.
Okay, one more crime. So definitely, this is UK specific, but I'm sure the rest of Europe and several other countries have it. He definitely breaks all of GDPR.
Oh yeah, that's all of Europe.
He legitimately has a list.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Has a load of addresses.
Children's names.
Every child's name, whether they've been naughty or nice, and their address, and their preferred present.
Yeah, absolutely gone. And the final one is that we do have literally written record of, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, him providing weapons to children and, if anything, advocating for child soldiers. I don't think you can get any way away from that.
Oh,
that's a biggie.
But to be clear, that was under the jurisdiction of Narnia, right?
Yeah, and I still don't... If someone went, oh yeah, murder's legal in North Korea, I'd be like, yeah, okay, fine, you can come here, that's okay.
Yeah, I think war crimes, kind of the point is it's an international thing.
No, but that's agreement. There's agreements for people saying we won't do these crimes, and some countries don't agree to that, and people go to war with them and do war crimes on them.
You're telling me Lapland doesn't care about child soldiers?
I'm sure Narnia doesn't care about child soldiers. I don't know about Lapland.
Nonetheless, I think there is a reasonable amount of legal precedent to at least massively reduce Santa's funds.
Yeah.
If anything, legal fees alone.
And we'll be so sick of hearing about him as well.
Just get him inundated with so much legal paperwork that he can't do his job.
He just hides out at an embassy somewhere. Yeah.
Do you think the elves are any good at processing legal paperwork?
I'm not too sure where he'd be extradited to, but nonetheless, he's stuck in an embassy.
Ooh, I actually think there is a flaw here. I think Santa's got a death grip on basically every politician in the world.
It's the only explanation.
He knows if they've been naughty or nice, none of them are going to move against him. He's got blackmail on all of them.
When has that ever stopped any politicians?
Yeah,
when has being naughty stopped a single politician?
I think ultimately, yeah, you could maybe say that, like, yeah, there'll be some resistance in the legal thing, but that, you know, like, ultimately law is law, and he has done several things which are illegal, and that can lead to prosecution, and that is prosecution in every country.
Yeah, I think your case is fantastic, but I worry you might get assassinated for it.
I can still succeed while being dead.
That is a risk I am willing to take. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
An interesting move.
Some of you may die, says AJ.
Me?
You know what? If death is on the line, I might have to just back down.
I think, yeah, the closest I'm getting to death is when I risk burning myself in the school fire, but hopefully I'll do that in a controlled manner.
Or being caught in a standoff as you've suddenly taken your crime a tiny bit too far.
It's fine, I'll take the beard off and just be like, oh, it's faking, it's just a fake.
Like, you still committed the crime, though.
Yeah, so I go to jail, but it still adds to the body of evidence against Santa.
The sacrifice that you're willing to make.
I'm just going to debunk something that I pointed out earlier, that you can't actually inundate him with paperwork, because he's great with paperwork. He handles so many letters every year.
Oh, that's true.
You know what, though? He does have a whole army of elves to do the paperwork.
That's probably a good lawyer amongst them.
Would you rely on an elf to deal with something with, like, a legal letterhead?
Jamie would.
Well, Jamie might too, but that's a whole other ballgame.
You know what? Elves all the way down is Santa's motto as well.
Sinister.
Oh, my word.
He's like, how do you get all this stuff done? You know, the elves do it, but how do they manage that? Oh, more elves. It's like, yeah, it's elves all the way down.
If you're suggesting the actual question is how do we stop Jamie, this question's got so much easier.
What, we'll give him a deck of cards?
Yeah. Use the playing magic strat straight back at him.
Yeah.
Teach Santa magic.
Yeah, we invite Santa Jamie to, like, hey, we're gonna play a draft and everyone's gonna sit and play for 12 hours straight.
That's alright, that's still 12 hours too.
48 hours. 64 hours. 72 hours.
Actually, if you make it 12 hours, half the kids will be awake during that time.
Mm.
12 hours might be enough.
We're getting dogged down the details, people. This is concept stage.
To sponsor this episode, get in touch on social media or insert business email here. Hey, Your Name! Did you know we also have a website and a Twitch channel and a YouTube channel? All of which provide alternative ways to keep up with our usual slew of content, as well as occasionally getting their own unique piece of content. We also have a Twitter account and Facebook page to help you keep up with all our hexy happenings. I'll put links to everything I've just mentioned in the show notes. Help us grow by liking and subscribing to as many of those things as you have accounts for. Thanks for your support. Now back to whatever it was I just interrupted. It is funny you mentioned the elves, though, because something I was thinking of doing was...
elves. I was thinking of maybe doing a stream where I play elves in different magic formats, says Eddie.
I was actually considering, yeah, starting up maybe on like Thursdays or something.
Yeah, Thursday seems like a good elves day.
Over at twitch.tv/hexagonlive, I might look a bit different and be called Jamie. Don't worry about that. It's a great time anyway.
I can't sure if this is better or worse as time has gone on with these internal plugs.
Is internal plug? What? Always be plugging. Come on.
Okay, let's have some external plugs.
Are you telling me it's plugs all the way down? Is that a new show?
Depending on the public's perception of Santa when this releases, I'll plug Santa. Well, there's a plug for Santa.
You know what, speaking of plugs, I do want to just, this isn't a fully fledged out answer, but I want to briefly shout out Alex, because a strategy that came to my mind was write Santa a letter simply asking him not to deliver the presents this year.
Solid pacifist performance.
Yes, thank you, Santa.
That's my gift, Santa, your move.
I like that.
Yeah, the thing I actually wanted to bring to the table, bringing him back to the elves, was... I think we should inspire a revolution in his workforce, the elves. Because they work for nothing, as far as I'm aware. I don't even sure they know what money is. But if we introduce to them the concept of luxury and capitalism, oh no.
Interesting kind of revolution.
Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you, Eddie. They live in a communist utopia where everyone is happy with the job they do, and you're like, let's introduce some wealth amassing into the picture here.
Let's just spin in the competition a bit.
Yeah, look, you could have a PlayStation 5 if you were paid for this properly.
It's like, hey, have you heard about Bitcoin?
No. I'm keeping this sensible.
You too could own this NFT that you've just made.
Yeah. You make a new crypto Christmas.
I don't know how I feel about this. The chance my coworker who likes crypto listens to this. Don't know what to do with this bit.
Look, they're allowed to like crypto. We're allowed to roast them for it.
All right. Well, you know.
So ultimately, you're trying to start a revolution.
But yeah, the point is, right, look at all of those toys that you're making. making. Weird that you don't have any. Am I right?
How do you know they don't?
Because they're too busy making them and shipping them off to all the lovely boys and girls of the world and others.
To be fair, there is many billions in population numbers, and we have no proof that working conditions have improved since the population.
Oh, that is dire. They are overdue for a revolution.
Battery farmed elves.
The fact that we don't know what goes on inside of Santa's workshop cannot be a good thing.
I've never seen a gender pay gap report either.
Exactly. There is no. I think there is no pay gap because there is no pay.
I don't think there's gender at the North Pole.
Oh, well, it is a communist utopia. You're right.
I think they just have, you know, Santa and Mrs. Claus just are gender presenting because of our sensibilities, but that's it.
It's sweet of them.
But yeah, basically, I'm going to go to the North Pole. I'm going to get me some picket signs and a megaphone, and I'm going to start shouting about elves requiring proper unionization and representation. And we're going to get them better working conditions, we're going to get them better pay structures, we're going to get them a clear, defined career path, and then Santa's going to be, again, inundated with paperwork, but also probably bankrupt by having to actually pay all these people a reasonable amount.
You're talking more about activism, right? You're going to go and, like, set up there and try and...
Yeah, I'm going to go to the North Pole and inspire some sort of reform in the elf workshop structure.
We've gone very quickly from revolution to reform here. I'm a little bit concerned that by Christmas, this is going to be an inquiry.
Eddie sitting on the Christmas throne with the elves slightly worse off than they were before.
It comes back to Tim Allen. All I need is the jacket.
But they all have a toy now.
A whiff of counter-revolution in the air.
It's like, yeah, they we're so sorry that you have to work twice as hard, but we're all in this together.
We're a family here.
Yeah, we can't give you any more food, but here we've made a toy for all of you.
Yeah, a communist utopia, like you said.
So the thing is about what you said is that there's technically already precedent for this event.
Oh.
That is documented.
What? America?
No. Specifically someone trying to persuade elves to unionize.
Are you talking about Spew?
I'm talking about actually about Hermione Granger.
Yes.
Yeah, Spew.
Oh, is that what it's called? Oh, of course it's called Spew, isn't it? I forgot. Yes.
Society for the Protection of Elvish Welfare.
And interesting enough, the elves were like, I'm not bothered.
No, they're not even not bothered. They're actively offended
by it.
But this world isn't written by that woman.
No, thankfully.
And yet, there are elves who want to be free.
Curious.
Oh, yeah, I'm not rejecting that, but I'm questioning to know as to whether you would get enough that want to change something to actually stop Santa.
The interesting thing about Hermione Granger is everyone in the real world loves her. It's just in the world that people don't think that she's cool.
Yeah.
If she existed in real life and was like, hey, elves are real, they work at the North Pole and it's tragic, you should sign up for my badge program, everyone would do it.
Although, the thing about the house elves specifically, they want to live that life. They have that whole submissive fetish thing going on.
Thank you for that take I didn't know I needed.
Look, Rowling writes a lot of stuff into her works.
It turns out the one thing that she absolutely nailed was the submissive fetish of the elves.
There are two elves who don't want to be like slaves, right? Everyone else is loving it. And they're offended. They're offended by the fact that Hermione comes in and is like, well, I come from a world where your situation is seen as a bad thing and therefore we should stop it. And they're just like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I mean, an interesting thing about that, though, is even if I don't convince all of the elves to do that, if I can convince enough of them...
One of them.
A few, right? Then those are elves that are taken out of the workforce, and then the rest of the elves have to work that a little bit harder, and maybe that's just the slippery slope that I need.
Excellent.
To get the revolution started, or to make it take 366 days to make all the toys. You get what I'm saying?
I love the situation where you convince three elves to walk out, and they're like, we're leaving! And everyone's like, okay, that was always allowed! Come back whenever, we'll cover you, we're fine, don't worry.
Yeah, we get outside, like, just the front door, and they're like, oh, now what's the plan, Eddie? And I'm like, go and do what you want. Live your lives. I didn't have a plan beyond this.
It's just like, yeah, where's our peppermint hot cocoa and our cushions? You're like,
Wait, what do you mean?
You'd know. This is capitalism. You're lucky if you can afford rent. Just turn around and walk back in.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
And you should feel privileged to struggle.
Oh, God.
No, I'm going to need to work on the specific argument. But I'm sure that by the time that it takes me to get to the North Pole /Lapland/ wherever the workshop is, I will have come up with better arguments than these.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, there's a lot that we don't know about what's currently happening in in the North Pole.
Yeah, a big chunk of this is precedent on the fact that we don't know. It must be bad, but that isn't necessarily true.
Sorry, you guys don't know.
Yeah, of course. That didn't come up without saying, dude, don't worry.
Speaking of mythical unknowns, I do actually have another plan. I was thinking, you know, so one of the problems here is that Santa is some kind of supernatural entity. We really don't know the kind of limits.
Yeah,
we don't know what it's going to take to...
trap him in a house, for example.
Yeah, to contest Santa, what the limits of his, like, prescient knowledge are. I don't know if we have the capability to really account for that and control it in the way that we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to call in, I think I'm going to call in some external help. Oh. We're going to have to dig into the realm of other supernatural creatures, right?
Oh, outsourcing. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that we can find some kind of greedy entity, some kind of like horror monster that lives and is just longing for the chance to reach out into some other world and corrupt it and take over and tie it in.
You're not speaking from personal experience here.
Yeah. Are you suggesting to start a cult? Is that your option to try and bring back Cthulhu?
Not so much a cult. I'm saying, like, rather than a cult to summon Cthulhu, we just say Cthulhu, hey Cthulhu, you might be interested in this Christmas thing going on.
more specifically on Cthulhu, perhaps. I get the impression that a lot of those sorts of entities require the cult bit to even have a conversation with
them. No. So the whole cult thing is basically just like, we're trying to make this happen at the right time.
Yeah, but you're talking like a Santa equivalent. You're talking like you're going to convince Bigfoot or someone to come and take over Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, let's build an example here, right? Maybe we go into a world. What's the opposite of Christmas? Probably Halloween, right?
Sure.
It's spooky, full of pumpkins.
I was going to say Easter.
Yeah, Easter is definitely closer.
But the Easter Bunny would be really good at it.
I mean, no, because the Easter Bunny and Santa fulfill a lot of the same roles, right?
They do.
They go around, they poop a lot of eggs out.
Yeah.
So I think probably the opposite to Christmas, we need, instead of Christmas trees, we have pumpkins. Instead of Christmas pudding, you have tasty candy.
Okay.
So we need some kind of like spooky undead monster to catch a glimpse of Christmas and be like, ooh, this tickles me.
Ooh.
Maybe I should be Christmas.
Hang on, wait a minute.
Second.
Are you doing Nightmare Before Christmas right now?
Okay, well, we know that works, right? They kidnap...
We have precedent.
Oh, you've literally copied someone else's homework.
It just might work.
Jack wants to do Christmas so bad, but he's just not capable. There's something inside, not only him, but the people who are helping him, that they just can't get Christmas right, and they make it spooky, and they make the wooden duck have teeth, and they make the doll be a vampire.
But they make a banging film out of it, so, you know, swings and roundabouts.
But okay, let's move away from just Nightmare Before Christmas. That's the prime example, but I'm pretty sure there's other holiday spirits that could do the job just as well.
Okay.
What's a holiday that we all love? Passover.
Right.
Spirit.
Yeah, right.
We all love Passover. We all love doing the meal and saying the words and all that.
Yeah, you know the words.
We all love matzah. Matzah is so good. Right?
Just shout out to matzah.
Shout out to matzah. Go get some matzah. Well, kosher or not, just have it. Now, the hero of Passover is, of course, the Angel of Death. Just like Christmas, just like Santa Claus, the Angel of Death flies over, visits every house, and leaves a special gift.
Is very interested in children.
Yeah, leaves a special gift for every kid. Or at least most of the kids, right? It has a few caveats that Santa doesn't have.
Is your mum aware of this interpretation?
My mum?
Yes.
Joe Mama.
Why?
Is it because you have an older sibling? Is this
what are you getting at?
Yeah.
Okay, older sibling. Right, exactly. We get the Angel of Death to be like, oh, Christmas, I can do that. I can fly around the world and visit the kids of the households. And my one weakness is lamb's blood being painted above the door. Who's painting lamb's blood above their door on Christmas Eve?
I'm going to start doing it if this gets the win.
Absolutely.
As the elder child, I'm absolutely...
Right, but that means you have to become Jewish, which you might be okay doing. You might have to convert.
Wait, do I have to become Jewish? Yes. If I'm not Jewish, what happens?
Only the Jewish people get whispered the secret about the lamb's blood, so it might be something other than lamb's blood.
Oh, right. But everybody gets roasted by the Angel of Death.
Yeah.
The question is, so if I do the thing with the lamb's blood in order to not be eaten by a Gru or Angel of Death or Jack Skellington, do I still get Christmas? Because if I've just converted, I can see this being an issue
What does Christmas have to do with religion?
Oh yeah, good point. Carry on.
So the other aspect of this is that I don't think you've technically stopped. Like, okay, just taking the Angel of Death as an example. Are you trying to say that the Angel of Death will also kill Santa because Santa's the firstborn?
Is Santa an elder child?
No, the Angel of Death goes and says, oh, I want to do Christmas. I don't know what it does, but it gets Santa out of the picture.
It's the Angel of Death. Yeah. I think we know what it does.
I don't know what the Angel of Death do.
Maybe.
You know the other cool thing we get from this? Angel of Death doesn't work alone. First of all, we need some kind of, like, big old pharaoh to be ruining the day. I mean, we've got that. Thanks, capitalism. Thanks, Eddie.
You're welcome.
We've got some evil pharaoh.
When did I become the defender of capitalism? What a fucking shock.
When you tried to introduce it to the elves to ruin Christmas.
I didn't see it coming. I said it really early on.
That's how it gets you.
I know, right?
Oopsie whoopsie, I did a capitalism.
It sneaks up on you immediately.
And then we also get some kind of absolutely rad wizard going out and saying, hey, capitalism, if you don't stop making us slaves, I'm going to do a bunch of curses on you. And they're like, hey, you can't do curses. It's like, cool, here's a magic snake. Cool, here's a bunch of frogs. The Thames becomes a river of blood. And then the capitalism still says, we've got to all pull together through these trying times. And then the Angel of Death flies in and does a big kill.
Bear.
Christmas is saved.
Bear, technically, you answered the question by getting the Angel of Death to get Santa out the picture. You then didn't need to proceed to killing the firstborn of everyone. You didn't need to do the next bit.
That's the natural result of the Angel Death getting Santa out of the picture, right?
Isn't there anybody else?
I've done my job. Whatever happens next is up to the Angel of Death. I submit my answer. I have succeeded.
Alright.
You just convinced the Angel of Death to do Christmas, and the world suffers, but that's not my problem.
Maybe we end up winning, right? Maybe we've got too many firstborn.
I would like to dispute this fact.
I think, I don't know, you're a big fan of Thanos and Thanos-related strategies.
Yeah, but at least I got a 50-50 shot when Thanos is involved.
You had a 50-50 shot of being firstborn in your family of two.
I don't think that's how that works.
You rolled poorly.
I don't think that's how that works at all.
So, Bear, you've gone down the idea of effectively how to stop a god. What you need is another god.
Yeah.
Right? That's your line of
argument. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Fundamentally, again, I think you can cut out the middleman a bit.
Oh.
Because the only way a god has power, to some extent, is people believing in it. If no one believes in a tooth fairy, then it does not exist. Right? It's all like Discworldy logic, but it's like, to my mind, if you have deities, it makes sense.
Okay.
Personally, I agree, but I don't think the foundation of religion does.
I don't give a shit about the foundation of religion. We're talking about the foundation of Santa Claus.
No matter how much you believe in a religion, well, no matter how much you have faith in your current religion, if nobody believed in that religion, it wouldn't exist for all intents and purposes.
Unless there was, you know, an actual god doing stuff, whether you believed in them or not.
Like Santa. Curse him.
I guess, but then we wouldn't know that, because no one would follow that.
Yeah, the only reason why, for example, the Tooth Fairy happens to be believed in it is because
it's real.
There's enough people which are doing the actions which enable the Tooth Fable to be believed
in. Whoa, you shut your dirty mouth, Paul.
This is a spoiler-free zone.
I shut my dirty mouth.
The Tooth Fairy is very much a legitimate process.
Yeah, bloody bloody.
It's as real as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
In fact, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well,
in his latest starring role, because he's going to do anything.
His latest starring role 12
just, like,
years
people
ago.
Are just like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You've lost your tooth. Now Dwayne The Rock Johnson's going to burst into your room at night and congratulate you.
The power level of the DC universe is being upgraded. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is not Black Adam anymore. He's now the Tooth Fairy.
He was the Tooth Fairy 12 years ago.
Was he?
What? Yes. The Tooth Fairy?
What?
He was in the film Tooth Fairy.
Wait, what?
Oh, I was doing that as a bit. You're telling me what?
No, that's a real thing. That's just straight up a real thing. Google Tooth Fairy 2010 film starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's terrible.
You'll see it come
fabulous,
up.
Fabulous.
We're going to have to pause while I watch this film.
Yeah. It has a high rating of 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Deserves every percent.
But I do think we would live in a better world if instead of celebrities being celebrities because they got famous, celebrities are famous because they have some kind of supernatural role.
I mean, that's how Dwayne The Rock Johnson got famous.
Like, the only reason Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in films is because everyone already knows deters him from bursting into everyone's room whenever they lose a tooth.
I thought it was just from his phenomenal cooking capabilities.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
And the fact that everyone can smell what he is cooking.
Yeah, no matter where you are in the world. Or at least, well, to be fair, maybe, because he doesn't say you can smell it, right? He asks if you can smell it. It's a survey.
What is the extent of my power? At some point, I can transfer into films, but I need to know how many people can smell what I'm cooking. And when my reach is far enough, I can star in The Tooth Fairy.
Dwayne Johnson just stopping people on the street, just like, excuse me, do you have 2 minutes for a survey? He's like, can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
It's a one-question survey, but it will take 2 minutes.
No, it's a few questions. It starts with, can you smell it? And then if they say yes, there's like, what do you smell? Oh, right. Would you rate this smell as a good? Would you say that this smell is doing... Does this smell put efforts out to protect your privacy?
Would you say this smell is fulfilling GDPR regulations?
Yes. Do you trust this smell to represent your interests? Would you eat what The Rock is cooking?
Would you submit your email for the chance of a $50 Amazon gift card for filling out this survey?
I feel my answer's been slightly taken away from me.
That's what happens when The Rock's doing a survey, baby.
Fundamentally, if no one believes in Santa, Santa doesn't exist, or his powers are massively diminished.
That's true. So, as soon as you say to your parents, I don't believe in Santa, he magically vanishes.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I've never said that, so Santa still happens every
year. The point
year.
Being is that all I need to be is a massive Scrooge.
If a meal is being cooked and it cannot be smelled, does it really exist?
Sorry,
you're
Paul.
Right. No, we're not sorry, Paul. We're ending your bit. We're just going to spend the rest of the episode talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I stopped Santa by distracting him with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Today, this episode's winner is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Okay, you will get a chance to speak after these messages. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I don't know what I can do.
Yeah, look, I'm great at derailing. I'm going to try being great at re-railing. I want to know, what is your plan for destroying all belief in the world?
You just need to be a massive Grinch. Just go up to every child, Santa doesn't exist. Just do that enough.
That would make my Christmas. I would enjoy that.
Enough TV broadcasts. We talked about propaganda. Just enough statements that are saying Santa does not exist and you will diminish all belief.
We are interrupting our scheduled broadcast to bring you this important message from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Hey kids, Santa isn't real.
I mean, you've only got to pay like 3 YouTubers to like say Santa doesn't exist and you will hit every child.
That's a good point, yeah. Just there's a big event in Fortnite, and just at the end, it just goes, Santa doesn't exist.
Winner, winner, chicken, Santa doesn't exist.
We are so in tune with the kids.
That is pretty good. And then after, spoiler warnings for Santa.
Also, John Wick's here, I think.
He does exist, though. That just, that's canon.
Here's a little anecdote from my own life. I remember once convincing a kid that Santa did exist after they were going, it was, you know, like a 10-year-old kid or something who was saying, no, I don't believe in Santa. Someone at school told me they're not real. I was like, yeah, of course they're going to tell you it's not real. Santa only has a certain amount of presents to give out. And if they convince you it's not real, then they get a bigger share. And he was like, damn, you're right. Why would I just believe this kid? I still get presents.
That's so funny. If Paul's going around to every child like Santa doesn't exist, and then Bear's just following you around going, he does though, don't worry about it.
Yeah, Paul's like, Santa doesn't exist. I'm like, don't trust that man. He's just trying to steal your Christmas.
Wow.
The tiniest little ripple in Santa's power as it constantly wavers by a couple of kids at a time.
Yeah. So I don't think your idea is bad, but personally, I am going to ruin it.
If anyone needed help filling out their alignment chart of Hexagorgon members, that's Bear. That's all you need to know.
So beyond the fact that I need to first deal with Bear, I think I can probably deal with Santa.
Yeah, that's like the pre-question for everything we ask on this show.
Can you deal with Bear?
Oh, but if it's funny enough... Oh, I do like villainy for the sake of villainy, like dramatic villainy, I'm really on board with, so I'm really torn. You've just put me at chaotic good, but then
no,
like
I
would put on a show of being evil for the sake of it.
I think realistically then is my line of argument, I just need to persuade Bear to persuade kids that Santa doesn't exist.
That would do it.
You just need to make it enough of a show and give me a costume and then I'm fully on board.
Not even a show. I just need to make it a game for you. I just need to give you a point system.
Yeah, that's true. A point system and a costume. give me like a fog machine and a costume and I'm on board.
We're playing Terraforming Santa. You score points. The less belief Santa has, the more points you score. It's us against Santa.
Terraforming Minds.
Oh, that's actually good, though.
That's terrifying.
You're right. Look, I can be convinced onto many paths, and they're not always morally consistent.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, okay, you've got me on board. Maybe you will succeed. Again, fog machine and a costume.
It is very funny to me, like, that we just derailed it so hard with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I just cut it there anyway.
Whole submission is, we're just going to talk about grain. Rather than stopping Christmas, how about, AJ, we ignore your question and just talk about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's my suggestion, says Paul. That was what Paul said, and not the rest of us.
How do I stop Santa? Well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh, are you going to use him to stop Santa? No. I just wanted to talk about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Have you heard the good news?
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Could you smell the good news? Of course.
You know what? You've derailed this so much, we're just nuking Lapland. Fuck it.
It comes around.
The only answer.
I love the idea. Yeah, you just absolutely nuke. You're just watching it. And then from the ashes, you just see Santa glowing with nuclear radiation, clothes burned away, the naughty list disintegrating in his hand in fire.
No, surely the nice list disintegrating in his
hand.
The nice list disintegrating in his hand.
And he's just like, I won't be needing this anymore. Ho, ho, ho.
He's glad too many believers.
Turns out nuclear fission just increases Santa's size.
Well, the only way we can count this is by nuking Dwayne The Rock Johnson, having him also increase in size.
That is not a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Yeah, we'll need to find out. What is the effect of a nuke on Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
If enough people believe in him, then he'll be fine.
I do believe in the Tooth Fairy. I do.
All right, so there's a plethora of answers for you to pick from, AJ.
Yeah. Now, I hesitate to say this because I have already written your Christmas cards, but I don't think that I can...
I don't think I'll be sending them out.
Straight in the shredder.
I can't in good conscience endorse any of these ideas. I love you guys, but as we all know, the true fairy queen of my heart will always be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So today, I will be awarding him the stupid prize.
Why did you even ask the question?
That's only appropriate.
Maybe you didn't want to hear the answers, but well done, Dwayne. We expect you to show up for our next episode to accept. Yeah. We'll be hearing from your lawyers.
The only awkward thing is, I already got the prize as well.
Yeah. Dwayne win?
What does he win? What does
What's the
Rock
present?
Win?
What are you leaving under his Christmas tree?
Look, if he's the Tooth Fairy, put it under your pillow with a tooth.
Under your pillow with a tooth, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think this through. This is going to be gross. Okay. You know Rudolph?
Yeah.
You know Blitzen?
Yep.
And Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen and Comet and Cupid and it's a doner kebab. Oh. I don't even like them.
Oh, you're going to be smelling that for weeks. Oh.
Well, you're going to have a stinky bed. What's new, am I right?
Oh! Hey!
Thanks for listening. If you want to keep up to date with everything we do, your best bet is to follow us on social media. We're at Hexagorgon on Twitter, and we're Hexagorgon FB, no spaces, on Facebook. And if you'd like to support us, financially, you could either donate to our Ko-Fi, which is Hexagorgon, or subscribe to us on Twitch if that's more your speed, which is Hexagorgon Live. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Well, you'll see us. Well, not C, exactly. Ah, you get the idea.
Thank you, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, for attending our podcast in spirit. If not ever in person.
Oh, man, I really hope one day he listens to this episode. It's going to be a fucking trip.
I just hope he stays as a good guy.
Yeah, I hope he stays out of any major controversies. Yeah. At least until this episode airs.
Yeah, we don't want to have to retract a prize.